Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press, the weekly national newspaper. It is Tuesday, the 5th of June. I'm lucky to be here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I wasn't feeling very well today. These damned allergies, not something one can easily get away from. But I will tell you this much, for those of you who are allergy sufferers, I learned something today and last night. I learned a lesson. I took some aspirin, thinking that the aspirin would help the allergies. But, folks, I did some checking in some alternative health publications, and I found out that aspirin is the worst thing you can take for allergies. And that was my mistake. I woke up this morning, folks, aching from head to toe, and that's because I took aspirin last night thinking that it would help my allergies. So if your allergy suffers, folks, you've learned something you need to know, and that is don't take aspirin. Aspirin is good for a lot of things, but not for allergies. In any case, earlier this evening, as I say, I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to do this show, but I heard something on the news just as I was getting ready to drift off to sleep, thinking I would maybe take a nap before the program tonight. I heard something that caused me to become wide awake and stimulated me so much that I could feel myself getting better by the minute as I thought more about the ramifications of this item that was announced today in the news. And I am referring to the fact that a federal judge has sentenced former White House Vice Presidential Office Chief of Staff Louis Libby, the longtime executive assistant to the Vice President, his Chief of Staff. He's been sentenced to 30 months in prison. That's good news, folks. That's good news, folks. Louis Libby didn't rape anybody. He didn't sell any drugs. He didn't rob a bank. But he participated in a major crime. Unfortunately, he was not convicted of the crime that he really committed. That is his hellish role in getting the United States into this war in Iraq. And believe me, if he were still in the vice presidential office today, he would be leading the charge to get us into Iran, because Mohammed El-Baradei, the United Nations weapons inspector, recently said that the crazies were still trying to get the United States going into a war against Iran, and he broadly hinted that those crazies were, in fact, people in the office of Vice President Dick Cheney. So although Scooter Libby is now out of the White House, out of the vice presidential office, his minions are still there hard at work. And as I've said before in this program, I only came to realize what a power Scooter Libby was after I wrote my book on these neocon warmongers, the high priests of war. I only became aware after the fact that I wrote that book that Louis Libby played really such a major role. I've said it here, I'll say it again. I think in many respects he was the head of the Zionist octopus inside the White House. There were other people outside playing major roles, people such as William Kristol and Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, and Douglas Feith over at the Defense Department, but Louis Libby, I do believe, was the central player in the scheming inside the Bush administration. Well, as I say, it's good news, folks. It's good news that this man has gotten punishment for the crime that he did definitively commit, his act of perjury in trying to cover up what was a conspiracy to defame a former, or then a sitting CIA official, Valerie Plame. But, you know, the fact is, folks, his crimes go much bigger than that. Now, we're going to a break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And then I want to tell you, we have a very special guest tonight talking about a very interesting subject. So stay tuned, folks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here, coming to you from Washington. Folks, I must tell you, I did drop in the American Free Press office today, and lo and behold, there was AFP's Jim Tucker. He just got back from the Bilderberg Conference in Turkey. No, Jim was not an attendee at the Bilderberg Conference, but he went there to cover Bilderberg, and I'm here to tell you that when the European press, who showed up to report on Bilderberg, wanted to get the lowdown on what was happening, they went to Jim Tucker. It's been that way for a long, long time. Although Jim doesn't get the publicity in this country he deserves from the mass media in this nation, he does get some acknowledgement in the foreign press for his very real expertise on the Bilderberg Group. This week's upcoming issue of American Free Press that they'll be putting together will give Jim's insights and news on what did happen. So, hats off to Jim Tucker for his good work once again. He's been doing it for 25 years. I wish he could do it for 25 more. Knowing Jim Tucker, he's indestructible. Maybe he will. Now, we are going to be joined by our guest in a moment who needs no introduction, so I'm going to take a couple more minutes just to comment on this Louis Libby affair. Folks, what we have to remember about Louis Libby's conviction is that he was convicted not of the crime which he really did commit, and that is getting us involved in the war in Iraq. And folks, I'm here to tell you, honestly, candidly, forthrightly, et cetera, the real crime Louis Libby committed was a Jewish crime. It was part of a Jewish crime spree. Now, if Libby had been convicted for drug dealing, I wouldn't say that that was a Jewish crime. What I am calling, though, a Jewish crime is this crime of getting the United States into the war in Iraq. And the reason why I call it a Jewish crime is because it was ideologically and religiously driven. Louis Libby, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Feist, this whole gang that had been running foreign policy inside the Bush administration, with Bush and Cheney fronting for them. These people were all Jewish. They were all hardline Zionists. They were acting because they were Jewish and because they were hardline Zionists. It was a Jewish crime spree, and all the other crimes related to it, including Louis Libby's lies that he told to the FBI and I believe to the grand jury, these were Jewish crimes. This has to be said, folks. This has to be said. This has to be recognized. Now, in that regard, I will say that we are going to be talking tonight about a Jewish crime, an ideologically driven, politically driven, religiously driven crime that we now know was committed, at least in part, by the State of Israel. Our guest tonight is none other than Mark Glenn, the author of No Beauty in the Beast, no, not my words, but theirs. He's the proprietor of CrescentandCross.com website, CrescentandCross.com website. And he's also become a very effective correspondent on almost a weekly basis, I think, for American Free Press. So let me bring Mark up. Mark, I see you are there.
Michael Collins Piper.
Yeah, I'm here just barely, but as I told you earlier, there's good news about the Libby conviction. You know, it just goes to show that there are good people in government, the people that brought the prosecution upon Libby, and, of course, the federal judge who sentenced him to a not very short term, considering what he could have given him. But needless to say, Mark, the crime that we're referring to here specifically now that you have just written about is very, very interesting. It's something that was very much in the news back in the 1970s, and it was constantly shown that as a consequence of this crime, Israel was a great hero, but in fact, Israel was the real instigator of the crime, and that is the incident, the hijacking of an airliner that was forced to land in Entebbe, Uganda. There was a Jewish woman, I believe, named Doris Block, who was killed at that time, and the world was told this was just another horrible example of Palestinian terrorism. But Mark, some news has come out, and you have done some writing about it, so if we could just roll ahead on that point and let you tell us what we're talking about here.
Well, yes. Surprise, surprise. As it turns out, some documents from the British Intelligence Service have now indicated that even back then, as far back as 1976, people in the know were fairly certain that this was another of Israel's made-to-order false flag operations. Obviously, for obvious reasons, which is to make the Palestinians look bad, to make the Israelis look good, but also more particular than that was to derail the future talks that were going to be taking place, high-level talks between the United States government and the PLO. You know, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that Israel, you know, the Zionists understand all too well the effectiveness of dividing and conquering. And so this idea of dividing the Palestinians up, particularly the PLO, into other groups is not something that is new to them. They did this in supporting the PFLP, which was the group said to be responsible for the Entebbe hijacking, and also Hamas. You know, we have to keep in mind that Hamas was a creation of Mossad in the early days.
Well, this is what's interesting, folks, because, you know, as Mark has pointed out, the Israelis were constantly trying to divide the Palestinians. And of course, the other benefit they got out of the hijacking that led to the hijacking by Palestinians of that airplane that landed at Entebbe was that incident when the Israelis went in there to rescue the hijacked people. That incident was played to the world as an example of the effectiveness of the Israelis, these tough, no-nonsense terrorism fighters. And, you know, to this day, there's a lot of people, a lot of Americans who look back and say, oh, yeah, those Israelis, they're tough. They're a real role model for the United States.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, Mike, keep in mind, too, that the PFLP, you know, who was the group responsible for doing this was a hardcore Marxist-Leninist group. So not only were the Israelis able to bag the opinion of the American people, so to speak, in the fact that here were these brave Israeli commandos storming this plane and saving all these innocent victims, but at the same time, you know, one of the things that they have used to keep the Americans in their camp was this idea that the Israelis were there as a bulwark against Soviet communism in the Middle East. And so, conveniently, they just happened to pick a group out, such as the PFLP, which was a Marxist-Leninist group.
And, of course, you know, it's important to remind people that that there, in fact, were all these different factions within the Palestinian movement, within the PLO, but the fact is that Yasser Arafat, he himself was not even a hardline Muslim fundamentalist. He was very secular and considered relatively conservative politically, and most of the key people in the PLO and in the Palestinian movement in general were not Marxists. They were not wedded to the Soviet Union. If anything, a lot of them were working to try to get the PLO out of any entanglement with the Soviet Union. And you have to bear in mind, this was, as you say, back in 1976, at a time when, while the Soviet Union was not as powerful as the Zionists, the people we call today the neoconservatives, the Soviet Union was not as powerful as they were leading us to believe. It still, nonetheless, was a force in the world, and there were Soviet troops in a lot of places. And there was still very much a fear of communism here in the United States. So it played right into the Israeli public relations and propaganda gimmickry to have the idea that there were, that the Palestinians were Marxists and vice versa. So that, I think, makes it pretty clear as to why they selected this particular faction to front for them in carrying out this operation.
And is it not interesting, Michael, that now that supposedly communism is gone and the Cold War is over and we don't need to worry about communism anymore, now the new war is this war against terrorism. So you don't see the Zionists bringing groups, Marxist-Leninist groups, to the forefront as the threat. Instead, you have groups such as Palestinian Jihad and Hamas and Hezbollah, which are, for the most part, Islamic groups. So it just goes to show the people listening to this that, you know, you have to be circumspect about anything that the Zionists hand you. Any piece of information, you 99 times out of 100, you can bet your last dollar that it's probably a lie of some sort.
You know, just for those, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners here because we have a lot of young listeners. A lot of them probably weren't even around when the attack on Entebbe took place, but I mean, they made at least what I can think of two movies about it, including one I believe starring action star Chuck Norris, and it was all over the papers for weeks, and it was at that time Idi Amin, who was made doubly famous by this recent Academy Award winning film The Last King of Scotland. He was a ruler of Uganda at the time, where the plane was hijacked and led to. And it's very interesting, Mr. Amin had been a supporter of Israel and trained by the Israeli army, but then when he turned on Israel and decided that he was going to run his country on his own, they suddenly decided that Idi Amin was not such a great guy after all, and they suddenly began telling the world that he was a cannibal and that he was this and he was that. So as I always say, hearkening back to what you just said, Mark, I don't know how much of what we've heard about Idi Amin is really true and what isn't.
That's exactly right. You can be rest assured of one thing, though, which is that the Zionists will only work with corruptible, corrupt men. So he probably wasn't a good guy. They don't want any stalwart, honest, pure-as-the-wind-driven snow types. They need men like Bill Clinton and George Bush.
That's exactly right. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about this, and I'm going to pass on something rather interesting about Forrest Whitaker, who played Idi Amin. He has some very interesting connections. Stay tuned, folks.
Hey.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have Mark Glenn aboard with us tonight. Sure to check out his website, crescentandcross.com, if you haven't. And Crescent, by the way, is spelled C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T, crescentandcross.com. Before the break, we were talking about the recent piece Mark has written regarding these new revelations that people inside British intelligence said that the Israelis were, in fact, the prime instigators behind a hijacking by a Palestinian group was an Israeli airliner that was forced to land in Entebbe, Uganda. At the time, Ugandan dictator Idi Amin was in power. Well, of course, Idi Amin was played in a recent hit film, and I might say a very good film, by the way, very interesting film, at least, by an actor by the name of Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker's been around for a long time, folks, but very interested to see that Forrest Whitaker apparently is a very close associate of one of Israel's biggest arms dealers, Arnon Milchan, M-I-L-C-H-A-N. His first name is Arnon, A-R-N-O-N. The last name is Milchan, M-I-L-C-H-A-N. Arnon Milchan is not only a big arms dealer in Israel, but he's also been a key figure in Israel's nuclear development program, and he's also a Hollywood producer. He is the guy who funded Oliver Stone's film JFK. So I found it very, very interesting that Forrest Whitaker played a character of special interest to the Israelis. And I think it's very, very interesting that this film just happened to come out at this time, you know, again, pumping up this idea of Idi Amin being this evil, big-time, anti-Israel, anti-Semite type. And then here, lo and behold, we find out that the Israelis themselves were behind this hijacking. Mark, your piece on this touches on the fact that the Israelis are trying to lie their way out of this one, too.
Yeah, it's. I don't want anybody to go to the piece assuming that it's going to be something scholarly. It's just one of my typical rants. So, it's not the kind of thing that you would normally read in American Free Press. Let's put it that way. The only thing missing from this is me frothing. So, anyway, the fact is that Israel right now is doing the usual song and dance of screaming persecution and anti-Semitism, and this is the reason why the mean old British government has decided to release these papers at this time, and how dare the world assume that Israel would have anything to do with anything underhanded or nefarious or anything like that. And it's basically, you know, it's basically the quote is that this general, Effie Ephraim, who is a Knesset member, I believe he's a one-star general in the IDF, and he has gone on record as the spokesman saying, how dare anybody assume or accuse or anything else that Israel could do something this low and underhanded as to stage a fake hijacking and put her own people in danger. And basically what I'm saying in this piece is, oh, come on now, General. This latest incident, if it, indeed it is true, which, you know, statistically speaking, it probably is, this is nothing compared to some of the things that your people have done against not only the Jews of Israel, but Jews throughout the world. They've always set these people up for the fall so that these guys at the top could profit off of it somehow. And so this moralizing that he's doing before the cameras and the microphones of the world, it really is a very disgusting spectacle to see. The fact that he would dare to take the world to task and to pontificate like this and to say, how dare you accuse us Jews of doing anything untoward or underhanded. And yet the history of this whole thing, especially the last century, is that, you know, Israel couldn't hold itself together if it weren't for the glue that all of the lies and false flag operations and terrorist operations and everything else that she has perpetrated these last 50 years, that's the glue that has held Israel together, because Israel, its foundation is one that is flawed in its most organic sense.
Well, you know, Mark, it's interesting. When I heard that, it almost confused, when I heard the connection made to Entebbe, it confused me almost for a moment because then it took me a second to realize that this is the second time an accusation has been made regarding an infamous hijacking. There was a cruise ship called the Achille Lauro that was hijacked, and there was an old Jewish American from New York named Leon Klinghoffer who died somehow, and then his body was thrown overboard. And again, even in that case, in the case of the Achille Lauro, which was an Italian cruise ship, there has been very strong evidence that's come out and that's been written about, indicating that the Israelis likewise were the ones who provoked the small group of people who were actually responsible for taking the Achille Lauro. So again, we have Entebbe, we have the Achille Lauro, and then you crank in the fact that British journalist Patrick Seale, who is highly regarded, has written a whole book called A Gun for Hire, been published years ago. It's about the famed PLO-connected terrorist Abu Nidal. And basically what Patrick Seale says in that book is that most of Abu Nidal's crimes were actually carried out at the direction of the Mossad. He was working for the Mossad. So I guess I have to say, what's new? All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phones. We have one caller already, so if anybody else wants to call in, now's the time to do it. The number is 800-313-9443. Call in now. Get in line, folks. Mark Glenn.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Piper here. We have Mark Glenn aboard with us. Mark Glenn, as you know, is kind of the Van Helsing of the American Patriot Movement. He's not only not afraid to hold crosses up in the face of vampires, he actually drives stakes through their heart. Now, folks, you wouldn't be able to hear this kind of commentary and information in the American mass media. But you are hearing it right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And the reason why you are hearing it here is because RBN makes it available to you, and you are not afraid of the truth. You can handle the truth, folks. So that's why you need to support RBN, and I'm urging you to donate, make a pledge to RBN. You can do it by PayPal at republicbroadcasting.org. Or, you know, you can also patronize republicbroadcasting.org. There's a good store up there selling a lot of good information and products. Or you can send donations. Now, this is important. RBN has a new street address. They're still in Round Rock, Texas, folks. I like that name. It's easy to remember. Round Rock, Texas. But here is the new street address for Republic Broadcasting. Get your pen and paper out right now, folks. I'm going to give you this address. It's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. Suite 302. 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. Suite 302. Round Rock, Texas. 78664. That's the same address, as, same zip code in Round Rock, Texas as the old address for RBN. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And once more with the street address, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, suite number 302. You can also call in an 800 number, 800-724-2719, extension 115. Okay, Mark Glenn is aboard, as I said, bringing you news you need to know, and we have a couple callers already with us. Let's go ahead and bring them up, Mark. We have Ed in Ohio. Ed, come on up.
Hi, Mike. Hello, Mark.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. Mike, I was just wondering what your opinion was on Vladimir Putin in Russia. What do you think of what do you think of him? Do you think he is going to help our cause to eventually say, I don't like to use the term overthrow, but overthrow Jewish extremism, get that element of Zionism out?
Well, that's funny. It's funny you bring that up, because when the subject of Putin came up earlier here, when Mark and I were talking about that, I couldn't help but recall that in the very latest issue of Commentary, which is published by the American Jewish Committee, or at least Commentary was long the publication of the American Jewish Committee.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very interesting cover story in this issue. Now, there's also the one I mentioned on this program, the call for bombing of Iran by Norman Fedoritz. But there's also in this June 2007 issue an article entitled How China and Russia Threaten the World. So you see, one of the leading Zionist publications operating on American soil is essentially saying that Russia and China are bad. Now, this is very interesting, of course, when you consider the fact that China's military machinery, its military establishment, was built up through its arms trade with Israel all these years. But now the top Jewish organization in America, the American Jewish Committee, one of the most powerful, certainly, in its very influential publication, is starting to rattle the saber at Russia and China. Now, I'm not here to tell you that Vladimir Putin is the best thing since sliced bread. If I were living in Russia, he might mm-hmm. want to take some of my freedoms away. But just because he's doing things in Russia that I don't like, that doesn't mean I think we should go to war against him. However, it looks to me as though the American Jewish establishment is setting us up for a new Cold War, maybe even a shooting war with Putin. Mark, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you 100%. War is a strange thing. It causes people who normally would not be allies with each other to kind of join forces temporarily. And in this case, Russia and Putin, if we stand any chance of surviving this thing, this onslaught of Jewish power, Russia is going to be a major player in saving us. That's just, I know a lot of people are going to lose their minds over hearing that, but the Russians, they were the ones who felt the heavy heel of that Jewish boot first and in the most substantive way. We're talking about 50 million people that perished under Jewish communists. So they've got very long memories. They see what's happening to the people of the Middle East. They know that their head is next on the chopping block. And they're not just going to lay down and endure this a second time. So I think that Putin is genuine. I think that he is a nationalist. He's looking out for his country's best interests. And with that in mind, anybody shooting in the same direction down the battlefield towards the enemy, I consider to be an ally.
You know, one of our callers several weeks ago phoned in with some information about the fact that there's one particular rabbi in Russia who is close to Putin. And, you know, people will read a lot into that, but you have to bear in mind in the bigger picture that Vladimir Putin has made some very big enemies who constitute the famous oligarchs, all of whom, with the exception of maybe one or two, all of whom are Jewish, some of whom have fled to Israel, but all of whom are tied up very closely with the international establishment, Jewish or not. So you have to look at Putin in the bigger picture. I mean, he came into power with the help of these Jewish oligarchs, but once he got into power, he pulled the rug out from under them. Ed, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I think Putin has the support of the rank and file Russian people as well. I think that, like Mark mentioned, they're just sick and tired. They're not going to let it happen a second time where they just get annihilated by this, call it Jewish extremism. And they are going to support a leader that opposes that extremist Jewish extremism.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what Putin has done. He may well be allied politically with this one rabbi, but I don't think we should read too much into that because, you know, Putin is at war with very powerful interests globally, and he's going to need to have kind of a handle on the Jews inside Russia.
He's not Iran, Mike. It wouldn't be smart for the United States to go in there and start a war with Russia. The world could end tomorrow if we did that. So, in other words, he's a little intimidating more so than, say, an Iranian leader, because we can theoretically wipe out Iran. We can't do that to Russia because they have so many nukes, you know, the world would probably end.
Well, you know, that's why I find that particular issue of commentary so revealing, so interesting, because, you know, right after the call for bombing of Iran, they're talking about Russia and China being enemies. So, I mean, you know, this is kind of like looking at the cover of this magazine. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an enemies list. Iran, China, Russia,
yeah.
And then the next article is if Israel ceased to exist, and the next one is my Saudi sojourn. So I mean, you know, this is what's unique about the American Jews. As much as they lie about their agenda, in their own publications, they lay it out very carefully and very clearly. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are trying to stir up the idea that that Putin is somehow, you know, a closet communist or a secret communist, or, you know, he's the KGB never died. It's been hiding under a bed for years. That's the John Birch Society line, but I'm here to tell you the John Birch Society is either lying or kidding itself. I don't know which.
Okay, thanks, guys. I won't eat up all your time.
All right, Ed, appreciate the call. Good question. I'm glad he made that call, Mark, because that's something I actually wanted to get into after you mentioned Putin. It was something that was on my mind. So, as I always say, great minds think alike. All right.
Well, you know, Mike, go ahead. You know, that issue that Ed brought up about Putin making the alliances with certain rabbis in Russia, you know, when you investigate it a little bit further, what you come to find out is these alliances that he's made with some of these Jewish leaders there, he has done this in a deliberate move to neutralize any international Jewish criticism of him for being an anti-Semite or blah, blah, blah.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and also, too, one of the things that a lot of this research has revealed is that he has been able to divide the Jews in Russia between their support for Zionism versus their support for Russia. So it's obviously a calculated move designed to minimize whatever liabilities he's facing. We shouldn't, in my opinion, we should not draw this out too far into assuming that he's actually, quote-unquote, working for the Jews.
Yeah, right. I mean, the very fact that George Bush today, I mean, I heard this on the news again after I heard the piece about Louis Libby. I heard this little worm in the White House giving a speech attacking Putin. So that, to anyone who is an American patriot, who is an American nationalist, who recognizes that we have a gangster in the White House who's promoting the New World Order, anyone should automatically then question why this little worm in the White House is taking on this offensive rhetoric against Putin. I think it should tell you right there. I mean, there's a lot of people who say, oh, well, he's bad. Bush is bad on this, but it looks like he's a good anti-communist on that because he's attacking Putin. No, as one of my favorite callers here, Jim from Texas, has put it, he says, you know, communism is dead in Russia, but it's very much alive here in the United States under George Bush and his Trotskyite pals among these Zionist troublemakers like Louis Libby and the other people.
That's right.
So, all right, we have another caller here, one of our good callers, Dave from Massachusetts. David, come on up.
How are you? Good to talk to both of you gentlemen.
Hey, Don, Dave, you're a good man.
Thank you. I want to bring out something about this Jewish communist thing. And from what I've read about Joseph Stalin, I want to say this, that although the Jewish people were very influential in the Communist Party coming to power in 1917 and helping in the victory in 1921 when they won the Civil War, I think the record shows clearly that once Joseph Stalin was in power solidly, he was nobody's stooge, and he made his own moves, and nobody told him what to do. And as far as Jewish people go, when he made Litvinov the foreign minister, but when they signed the temporary, remember that non-aggression pact of August 1939, signed by Ribbentrop and Molotov, Litvinov was shoved upstairs, and Molotov became the prime minister. I don't believe that Stalin was, some people have said this, but it is not a true statement. Stalin was no stooge of the Jewish people. He was no stooge of anybody. He made his own calls.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I've read all the literature on the topic, and unfortunately, a lot of the literature that's out there is mistaken, well-intentioned, I think, to a certain extent, but mistaken. There are some who contend that Joseph Stalin was part Jewish. I don't personally believe that based on what I've read. It appears as though he was married to at least one Jewish woman and possibly two. But if you look at the rest of his policies and what he was carrying out and some of his intentions, I don't believe that the picture adds up to what a lot of us may have long believed.
Okay. So, and another thing, I think you're right, and going concerning Stalin, and I've said this on your program a few weeks ago, and I'll repeat it, that famous Jewish, a man of the most degenerate character, Sigmund Freud, his philosophy was outlawed under Stalin during his lifetime when he
That's
was...
That's very interesting.
You know, from 1924 to 53 when Stalin died. And I even think under Khrushchev that psychoanalysis was condemned, and Stalin had no use for the man. Trotsky, I think, was the type who would be more pro-Sigmund Freud. But Stalin's approach to morals was traditional, and people don't realize this about Stalin. When they had those purges in 1936, some of it was political, but some of it wasn't. He had a whole bunch of people arrested and jailed because they were living out of wedlock with some women.
No kidding. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay.
This is not generally known. And here's another thing about this thing with the Jewish. And it's coming up now because you people have been stressing this thing of the attack on the Liberty.
Right.
And it's almost June 8th.
That's correct. Coming up 3 days from now.
And there's a book I quoted on your program a couple of years ago. And in that book, in one of the footnotes, it reveals somebody with a name that sounded almost like a Georgian name ending in like a Vili or something like that. I forgot the last name. But he was on a Soviet submarine that was prowling in the Mediterranean during the June War of 1967. And they were under orders that they were supposed to launch an atomic missile to attack Israel if the order was given. Obviously, the order was never given. But these people who come up with this thing about, well, Russia's under control of the Jews and they're stooges of this and that, if those kind of things are true, that guy in that submarine He may have moved to, I don't know if he moved to Israel or whatever country, but if those things are true, the Jews aren't controlling Russia.
No, you know, years ago, Liberty Lobby broke the mold by publishing some very interesting intelligence reports on what was happening inside Russia. Fortunately, I just happened to come across my file on those, and one night here in the program, maybe even this week, I'm going to read excerpts from some of them because it gives us some real insight into some of the real history of what was going on in Russia, and it kind of puts to rest that old legend. So I think there's more to be told on the story. Dave, I want to thank you for your call.
All right.
We're going to a break here, and when we come back, we're going to go to our last caller for the evening, Mark from Texas. So, Mark, you hang on for the break here. That's Mark from Texas. All right, folks, this is Michael Collins Piper here with Mark Glenn. You can check out his work every week in American Free Press. I hope you are a subscriber. But you can also check out Mark's work at crescentandcross.com. Be sure to read his book, No Beauty in the Beast. It says it all about Israel. Not a beauty at all, a beast.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We're wrapping up the hour. We have Mark Glenn aboard with us, and we have Mark calling from Texas. Mark, come on up.
Good evening, you two.
How you doing?
You know, between the two parties, there probably isn't a difference, but the national media keeps saying that there is. The Republicans, you know, are this, and the Democrats say they're that. But the upper echelon between the two is no different because both are controlled by the Zionists.
That's correct.
Now the lower echelon of the Democrat and the Republican Party are still salvageable. But they're not going to make it to the senator position. Period. There are a few out there in the Democrat and the Republican Party that understand this mess that we have to deal with. They're not Americans. They're Zionist supporters.
Well, you know, I tell you, the fact that we have a good man like Ron Paul running for president, you know, Ron Paul, I think he understands what's going on. And that's a good sign because he is a rallying point for people in the Republican Party. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and that's why I think we need to encourage people like Ron Paul. But on the whole, I think you're absolutely right. The Democrats and the Republicans alike, I mean, if you look at, you know, the Democrats won the House and the Senate precisely because people were fed up with this war in Iraq.
You know, Mike, I think that I truly believe that the reason the Democrats were put into the position they're in right now was for investigations. Because I really believe that the American people believe that the executive branch is as corrupt as we have ever seen it. And our grandparents have ever seen it. But nothing is going to come to pass.
Well, you know, that's the problem. Mark, Glenn, what do you have to say about that?
Well, there's not much that can be added to it. I mean, these people are all compromised. Every one of these guys has done something in their lives that they don't want to have revealed to the public, and this threat has been made clear to them by the Zionists. And if they haven't done something, then the threat has been made that, you know, they'll be able to dig the evidence up of something. So he's right. This is the problem. But, you know, Mike, the biggest problem that we have in this country is not the fact that we have 435 corrupted elected officials. It's the fact that we have hundreds of millions of Americans who simply just don't care anymore. For the most part, they are content with what life in America is. Yes, they'd like to have a little bit more money in their pocket, but in general, they're insulated from what is going on in the world. They have food in their stomachs. Nobody's bombing their homes or shooting their children. And so that is the biggest weapon that our enemy has in its arsenal is the fact that he is able to keep the American people stupid and happy. And so, you know, this is the problem. Until the American people begin to feel the pain that they have caused other people around the world, I'm afraid to say there's not going to be any change that takes place.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, 9-1-1, which was very clearly an Israeli provocation, as far as I'm concerned. You know, even on 9-1-1, they were able to turn that around and put the blame on an innocent party or parties and convince the American people that we need to go to war against Islam. And yet, you know, for all these years, we've been taught that we should respect other people's religions and so forth, and yet the American people turned on a dime when they were told we've got to go into this war on terror, and of course then they, by extension, they turned it into the war in Iraq. So, Mark and Mark, I'm afraid we have a lot of work to do.
Thanks for the time, though, guys.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call. Mark, Glenn, thanks for calling in. We're wrapping it up here. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network for more good programming. You can handle the truth.
It's true.